Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, so hour number two starts now. Paul Gallant in, Jeremy Branham out. Jeremy got a bit of a bug last night. I think I know exactly how he got it, but I'm not going to kibosh someone's business. I'm just going to tell you that he got a bad dose of something, and now he's... let's just say not sprinting but running all over the place. So he's at the house.
That's a poop joke.
Finalists for the Bears head coaching job. I promised you them. Here they are: Matt Eberflus, Dan Quinn, who obviously has risen to the top of the hot list of coaches available.
I don't get that. I mean, he's really nice. Everyone in Seattle loves him from his time in Seattle. Yeah. But you saw him as a head coach, and I know him as the guy who did not pull on Kyle Shanahan's leash in the Super Bowl.
He's going to be as known as Kyle Shanahan from 28-3.
Right. And people think about Shanahan. They don't think about Quinn as much. And what was Quinn without Shanahan? Nothing.
Right. And so, and then the third one, Brendan, who, as you will speak to, is one-time Detroit Lions head coach Jim Caldwell, who has resurfaced, and we know the name because Jim Caldwell was involved heavily in the Texans
last
year.
Look, if you want to go 7-9 a bunch of times, make the playoffs every now and again, and lose in the first round, Jim Caldwell's great for that.
So you're saying just like the Saints, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, because I'm rolling into your guy. I knew it was coming. I didn't know which version of communications he would use, either via Twitch or by call, but when he's normally fired up, he calls. Clarence, the resident Saints fan, is calling in now, and I got to believe as much as Paulie could be in the crosshairs, I'm pretty sure he's coming for Brendan. Clarence, what's up?
Oh, you know I'm coming for Brendan and, hey, yo, Paulie. Yeah, I'm coming for both of y'all. First off, Brendan, let's run down the years. You want to talk about those 379 years? From 2014 to 2016, 2014, defense, bottom three. 2015, defense, bottom three. 2016, defense, bottom three. 2017 is when they had a middle of a pack defense, and guess what they did? Went to the divisional round, Minneapolis Miracle.
Clarence, I watched Matthew Stafford have a bottom three defense and win 7 games. Drew Brees is an elite quarterback. If you have an elite coach, you got to do more than that.
With a bottom three defense? Are you kidding? How much can a quarterback do?
He's a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
I'm not just putting it on Drew Brees. I think that would be silly. The problem is if Brees is elite and Sean Payton is elite, I'm sorry, if they're both there, 7-9 is not acceptable.
If you have a bottom three defense, no matter what your offense does, go ask Peyton Manning. Go find Peyton Manning and ask him when he had a bottom three defense. No matter
they
what
made the playoffs,
you do,
though.
Sometimes you can't get you can get the playoffs, but sometimes some teams are better than you. But when he had a middle of a pack defense or a better defense, guess what he did? Go to the playoffs, lost. Go to the division round, get screwed three times in a row. And Joe want to mention the injuries. I ain't even touch on injuries this fast.
Clarence, you deserve credit for taking this long to get to the point where the Saints got screwed over. You know what? Golf claps. Golf claps.
Clarence, I'm surprised you didn't bring injuries in.
No, that was only this year. I can't really say anything about the other years. Defense. Playoffs, got screwed over. So, hey, Paulie, did they not get screwed over? Three times in a row.
No, he says no in the Rams game. I just had that conversation with him.
I think in the Rams game, Jared Goff was peeing his pants in the first quarter. You should have been up like 30-0 at halftime in that game. Am I wrong?
Paulie.
That's not a response. That's sort of, yeah, you're right, yeah.
Clarence, you're running out of time. Was he wrong?
No, he's definitely wrong. You making it sound like the Vikings and the Rams are just trash. They are good teams. They wouldn't have been in the playoffs if they weren't.
Rams scored 3 points against the Patriots. So, yeah.
Well, but you're always going back to your Patriots crap.
So. Well, God's team. So
I'm not going there either. All right, Clarence, we appreciate it, brother. Thank you. And, of course, we'll still see you on Twitch. I just make sure that Brendan keeps watching Twitch so that he can respond.
Good call, Clarence.
It also kind of goes right back to the conversation we had early in the show, and that is because of what he just said about Breeze and what Brendan said about Breeze and Peyton. Like, what's more important? Because should Breeze have been able to do more, regardless who his head coach was, to carry them past 7-9? Or did Peyton not do enough, even as being a good head coach, and therefore showing the importance of having the right coach so that even in years when your defense might be down, you find a way to carry your team through your offense?
Well, you know, with Breeze was always put on this pedestal that was, yes, below Brady and Manning of the quarterbacks of his generation, but I always thought it was a little bit too high compared to the likes of Ben Roethlisberger, the likes of Philip Rivers. I never felt like there was a massive gap between Breeze. And statistically, yeah, you can make the case for the gap being pretty big. But I don't know. I look at those indoor quarterbacks and I just think a little bit differently about them. I feel like Breeze was a hell of a quarterback, but I think that a lot of his success depended on the satellite running backs, of which he had many that he was throwing to on checkdowns out of the backfield who were able to do things, whether it was Darren Sproles or Reggie Bush or it was Alvin Kamara.
I get it, but you know what? That's also the intelligence of the quarterback to be able to know where his where his escape route is, where his bailout is, where he can get whatever he needs to get and also maximize it against the defense he's playing. Because I think that, you know, it's one thing to say Vince Carter might be a Hall of Famer from longevity. He just played long enough that his numbers were good enough. You know, that's the Eli Manning discussion. Are his numbers good enough for a guy that was mediocre in the regular seasons for most part, but won two Super Bowls, got two MVPs? From a Drew Brees perspective, I'm never going to put the Vince Carter tag on him because he overachieved as it was because of his height. But the fact that he always maximized the weapons that he had, and he had plenty, you're right, as opposed to like Brady and the Patriots when they always said that he never got anybody except for recycled vets on their last leg, with the exception of Randy Moss 1 year. But when you look at it and you think about all the different guys that he had, and you mentioned the scat backs out of the backfield, the receivers that he had to throw at, the tight ends when Jimmy Graham was really good for several years. His offensive line was always built up. But is that his fault?
I don't think it was his fault. All I feel like we should be looking at the Peyton and Breeze era and say, considering how long they were together, there should have been more. Because I don't think that you looked at either of those guys and ever said that they were the problem, ever. You never said it was Sean Payton.
No.
You know, even with some of those seasons where he struggled. Now, I thought there was a point where maybe they were looking at it and they're saying, okay, this is the same returns that we're getting every single year. Maybe it's time to move on. But that partnership should have been able to get at least one more, or two at least one more. They never even got back.
But you know what the other thing, fellas, is there's plenty of situations like that.
Yeah.
You know, when Packers? I look at it, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers should have had more than one, should have been to at least more than one Super Bowl, should have won more than one Super Bowl. You look at the fact that even when you go back in the Favre era with Holmgren, you know, they made it to two, they won one, but there should have been more than that.
But you trash Mike McCarthy.
He's awful.
Kyle Shanahan's getting to the conference championship game every other year with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. If you have a coach and a quarterback, I don't think there are other examples of teams that have both of those things who've done as little.
The big problem with McCarthy, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is his oafish look. I definitely think makes it a little bit easier to slam him than Sean Payton. I mean, look, if Sean Payton looks like Kevin James, like he does in that movie, it's a little bit different.
But here's the thing with McCarthy, for as long as I've experienced Mike McCarthy, and that is, that could be also endearing, right? That could be the quality of an endearing, lovable guy. But he brings the ego with it, and he does have the attitude about, you know, and I always make fun of him at press conferences, but no matter which hat he's wearing, if it's got a star or a G on it, it's always about, you know, it's a good football team. And no matter what you guys say, it's a good football team. We're going to play good football. We're going to do the things we need to do to win football
games. And the refs jobbed us.
Dak's our quarterback, and we're going to do 15 seconds or more. Look, you can say it till you're blue in the face, but the attitude means as much as the appearance. And I think that he looks like a schmomo when you look at some of the mistakes he's made that experienced Super Bowl winning coaches shouldn't be making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. You would think that he would have learned that he would get better at anything. Yeah, he never really did. That's the thing with coaches, for the most part, you know, they are what they are. And that's why, you know, going back to our earlier conversation, I feel like, be a little less picky. You're probably not going to find this amazing coach. You are hoping that you are going to find someone that can groom a quarterback, which I think Peyton deserves a lot of credit for some of the things that he and Drew Brees were able to accomplish together. I don't think that was all, you know, I think that partnership was a lot more of a symbiotic relationship than maybe we saw with Belichick and Brady. Like, I feel like Brady, even as good as Belichick is, I think that Brady could have probably done that in a lot of different places. I think that Peyton and Breeze were a fantastic combination, but a combination that I think should have been able to do more than they did.
Well, we got some things to get into, because here's the thing to me, and Brendan gets into this as well. Jim Caldwell, a finalist for this Bears job. Jim Caldwell, I feel like, look, I don't know if we go coach can make a quarterback can make a coach. But I think that in the case of Jim Caldwell, in a lot of ways, a quarterback made a coach that suddenly became a hot commodity. Now, he did a heck of a job in Detroit, but when the Texans were interviewing him, I wasn't enamored with him. I don't know why all of a sudden the Bears are, except for they experienced what Brendan likes to go to, which is, you know what, if you're going to get rid of a coach, you better get someone that could do better, and the Lions haven't been able to. What he did was actually should have been applauded more and appreciated more. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get Paulie, are you overrated as a flag football player?
What?
I mean, I'm just saying it. It's out there. I mean, does any team even want you in their lineup, whether it be here in Houston, in Seattle, or wherever you may play next, no matter the fact that you are wearing a flag football tank top that looks like a basketball jersey?
Yeah. It's hot outside.
That could tell you that maybe you're having a real tough time in trying to identify your true commitment to playing football. We'll get to all that as we continue to roll on in the show. Before we do that, I want to tell you about my good friend, Doc Linville. Look, John Granato's told you about him. Fred Fowers told you about him. I'm telling you about him because he knows what he's doing, and he does it better than anybody else. Doc Linville is the master behind the NeoGraft procedure. You know that I did it about 3 months ago. You know that the new crop of hair is coming in, and it is strong, and it is getting there every single day. I won't see the maximum results of all of it for 6 to 9 months, but I do know the process was painless, literally, that it was fantastic. And that I'm so encouraged about the fact that I'm going to get my original hairline back, and you can too. And it's great because as an ESPN 97.5 listener, you get a consultation that normally costs $150 for absolutely free. You sit down with Doc Linville and his staff. You ask all the tough questions. You try and figure out everything that you're a little bit confused about. He sets the table straight. He tells you how it goes. And you go, you know what? I either am going to do this or I'm not. But if you do, you won't look back and ever regret it. Because here's the thing. It's your own hair. You take it from places that you have a ton of it, like the sides and the back. And you, really, genetically, you never lose it in those areas. And you take that hair and you put it where you don't have as much or any at all. And the results are unbelievable. The 95% success rate is what got me. Because I'm not going to do this and then realize that in 6 months, instead of seeing all these results, I actually go back to losing half of what you were supposedly putting in. Not the case with Doc Linville. He's the best in the business. He has the best people doing the procedure. They were traveling the entire country doing it. Now they're doing it just for him and just in Houston, Texas. I'm telling you, you got to check him out, because if you don't believe me, sitting down and talking to him will give you all you need to know. Go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com. Like I said, as an ESPN listener, set up that free consultation that normally costs $150. He's holding any price increases for ESPN listeners through the month of January, so it's worth it to set up the appropriate appointment now, and then you'll understand it's your own hair growing where you didn't have any and improving your outlook and your personal appearance and your confidence on a daily basis. Check out Doc Linville today, 975hair.com.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, I don't know what to get into first here, because I'm intrigued by this. Like, I know from playing basketball with you that you are psychotic.
Yes.
You're like a bull in a china shop, only you're not built like a bull, but you are fearless and you are...
Thank you.
...a massive hustler.
Thank you.
So I don't... And I know that you played high school football, and so I'm a little bit perplexed by this. No one wants you to play flag football with them or...
Oh, that's erroneous. Now, here's the deal. The problem was, I was on a flag football team in Seattle. It slowly got better and better every single season I was with them.
Okay.
And when I left, I knew that team was going to be awesome. So I played with the first two games of the season with them. They have not lost since, and tonight is the championship.
Mm.
I was thinking very hard.
Of flying in?
Of flying back. And the problem was the games, Joel, got canceled twice in the last 4 weeks. So the playoffs, the championships have been pushed back. So once it got canceled because of COVID, because Seattle is taking COVID very, 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 very seriously. Okay. And then on top of that, the other was that the lights went out of the stadium. It's like the stadium that's right underneath the Space
Needle. You're like the Vegas Bowl when they pull the plug on the lights?
Essentially, yeah. So the lights didn't work 1 week, so they had to push it back again. So I was looking at flights until probably until I got the text today from Tyler to come in. I was still thinking about, should I fly to get there, play deep safety, and add to my
Because here's the interception thing. Tally. I have love and appreciate your dedication and the desire to go back and play. On the flip side, I have to at least ask the question, would they want you to come back?
Are they, of course. Well,
see, I got to ask.
I don't know. Because
they haven't lost without you.
See, that's
why do they suddenly need you back?
This bothers me. And it makes me wonder what an athlete is really thinking. Like, say you were Drew Bledsoe when he got, of course, benched for Tom Brady.
While he pipped.
We knew that Drew Bledsoe was trying to get that job back. In other situations, how many athletes, after they get benched or they get injured or something like that, are really rooting as hard as they could for their teammates? Because there's an ego in all of us where I think we all might think to ourselves, yeah, I hope they get all the way, but I hope they lose. By the way, I hope they win. I'm wearing my Nuns with Guns jersey right
That's
now.
That's the name of the team?
I don't know why it's the name. I thought it was a reference to the town.
Yeah?
I can't explain it. They don't understand how they came to the name either.
A bit controversial, to say the least, but we'll leave it there.
A little bit. I don't think you want to see Nuns with Guns.
Well, but especially not after recent...
No.
Occurrences in the news, so no.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I don't know what the occurrences in the news are, but goodness gracious, I hope I don't get canceled for this. But it makes me wonder. But yeah, I think they would want me back. I mean, they said that they wanted me back.
Well, they're not paying for the flight.
That's what I mean. They didn't want me back.
I was
going to
say, they're not going overboard saying, oh, we got a sponsor. We can handle this. We need you, Paul.
It's like $700, though. So, I mean, I don't blame them. Like, just for a Tuesday and a Wednesday flight? That's
what
ridiculous.
Would you get, a t-shirt if you won?
Our league, excuse me. Our team takes things very seriously, so I think we were going to actually have something made.
But that's more money out of your pocket. I'm talking, what does the league itself provide you?
Probably, yeah.
Like I won so many city leagues over the course of time, as you know, playing basketball, that they went from the league championship t-shirt. They're like, you guys got so many of these t-shirts. Then they tried to give us hats. Then they got smart and decided so that they could prevent something like that from being produced. They gave us jerseys with numbers, so we didn't do that.
Oh, that makes sense.
Well, yeah.
Well, here's my take on it. I have not won anything as a good football player. I won when I was playing peewee football. We won 20 games in a row, and I didn't play much in that because I was like 55 pounds, and they thought that I was going to die when I was out there, which was erroneous. This is my first chance to like win something, and I'm going to miss it. And they're going to go undefeated, and I'm going to be sitting here, and I mean, I'm very happy for
them. You played two games. You played two games.
I know.
How many games in the season?
I think it was like eight.
I mean, they could vote you out. They could vote you a half share or even a partial. You might not even get the full share.
Listen, I just, like, if, say we had rings made, seeing as we have film study sessions and all sorts of things like that. Say we had rings made. Would I be a loser? First off, I'd be a loser if I got one. But am I allowed to get this ring? Am I allowed to join in with the ring purchases?
See, I was just going to say, if they went so far as to get rings for something like this.
Joel, this is all I care about, man. This is all I care about. Like, sex, fine. Flag football, number one in my life. Number one. This is all I care about.
I don't think this is going to help you in any way, shape, or form. My daughter just took up softball for the very first time. She just played in her first league. She was in the championship game. They lost. Soundly got beat.
Oh.
They got rings.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, like, what are they? Are they silver rings? Like,
they're fairly big, and they're pretty blinged out.
Oh, you know what? That's pretty
sick. Believe me, it's like it's better than a participation trophy in the fact that she showed our entire family and shows it off in her room. I've won a ring already.
Oh, that's not good.
Kind of just laying it out there for you.
Well,
I'm going to let you take it from there.
If we won the league and we didn't go undefeated, that's one thing. But if we go undefeated, I don't know. I think it's a little different, right?
I guess. Brendan, where are you on this?
He says we.
Yes, yeah. I'm on the team, Brendan.
It's we if he's playing on the team, right?
He's moved across the country. He's not on the team anymore.
That's where I'm at. He's only played
about
two
flying,
games.
But he's not doing it. You're not a part of the team
but
anymore.
I played with him for the three seasons before.
I'm trying to think of the best analogy.
What, I had like 12 interceptions the last season I played for them. Yes, I kept count. I don't care.
What are you, Eric Weddle, but with less talent?
Whoa.
You got picked up in the playoffs?
Ed Reed, thank you. White Ed Reed?
At least, now you're crossing lines that I'm not going to cross with you. I'm just saying, like,
noted Texan Ed Reed.
I'm trying to think of, like, in the Rockets runs with Harden, like, when they picked up a guy, a veteran as insurance that really didn't play, but if they won it, would have gotten a ring.
Yeah. I thought long and hard about this.
And evidently, and financially, willing to take a flight across the country for it.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, you know, you're out of a job for a couple of months. You're out of
what's one more expense? I got
what's a little
this.
More? You're fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, I had to. You know what? I appreciate your passion.
I care about this way too much. I don't understand why I care about it as much as I do. But the day where I will not be able to play flag football will be a very sad day.
So we also have the question of the day, which is, and listeners, thanks to Twitch, can actually chime in on this. Yesterday, because of Brendan's love for Matt Stafford, that obviously was deeply rooted in Detroit, it's carried over into the wherever Matt Stafford goes, and now with Matt Stafford on the cusp of getting to his first Super Bowl, he wore a Stafford jersey yesterday. However, and he had a choice in this, the jersey that he selected to purchase was the one that looked like someone peed on a white jersey, that kind of eggshell-colored Rams jersey.
Gross. Yeah. The bone color is what they
call it. But it does behoove us to ask the question, who had the worst jersey? The peed on Matt Stafford jersey that Brendan wore yesterday, or the peed on look, excuse me, or the nuns with guns basketball tank top for flag football that you're wearing today?
Well, I mean, look, if you wear the bone jersey.
Your name spelled wrong on the back.
Well, that's how I spell my name when I'm impersonating someone yelling at me. I didn't want to have my actual last name on it either because I don't think a lot of people in Seattle liked me.
Why? Were you very negative when you were there?
No, I wasn't. I was much more positive than I was when I was
here. The back is spelled P-A-W-L, yeah. Paul.
Pal. It's like, you know, when...
What are you, Paul Gasol?
When someone calls in to the Paul Feinbaum show, this is supposed to sound like how they say, like, hey, pal, you know? Okay. And people would do that with me every now and then. So I
who wore it worse? Or whose was worse? Brendan's
pea-colored
Rams jersey?
Look at my delts. Oh, yeah.
God he's wearing a shirt underneath it, breaking all of the rules that I've been told about with men in jerseys. A football jersey that looks like a basketball tank top and pull.
Funniest part, a long time ago, this actually stuck in my craw for a while. I forget if I was wearing a Syracuse or a Celtics jersey around, Joel, but you've had this take for a while.
I remember this.
And I remember you said, like, wow, Paul, you look like you're wearing a sausage casing.
Yep.
And it was very mean.
It was very snug on you.
It's not my fault that I have large pecs compared to my relatively...
No, you know what it's your fault? It's that you selected a size that doesn't fit you.
Well, no, that did fit. It shows my pecs off.
You have... You know who else does things like that? Women, because they want to show off their cleavage.
What's wrong with that? Why can't I do it?
The comparison is there for you people in more ways than one, and you can also choose a jersey along the way. Coming up next, Kelly Eco. He is the beat writer for your Houston Rockets as he works for The Athletic. But he also, way back in the day, used to work here at ESPN 97.5, and he is a dear friend of mine and a good friend of the show. So we're going to talk to him about everything going on with the Rockets right now. Switch gears and talk a little hoops because the trade deadline is fast approaching. I believe it's February the 10th. Rockets have two, maybe three, depending on what you hear, commodities that are possibly wanted and desired by several teams in this league. We'll get Kelly's perspective as he is they're covering the team on a daily basis coming up next. So we've got lots more to get to as we get to the midway point in the show. So stay tuned for that and a whole lot more. And of course, as always, if you want to join us, HR&P listener line 713-780-3776 gets you in on text or calls. And as I always say, if you're going to text the show, put your name on it. Don't be the cowardly keyboard warrior that takes the shots that Paulie used to like to take pictures of and put on social media to call them out. We have ways of getting back at them now, too. I'll inform you during the break. But otherwise, you can get us on Twitch, twitch.tv, and get ESPN 97.5 and see us as you comment in the chat along the way. Kelly Eco comes up next as we get into the second half of the show. Stay right where you are. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Before we go to the break, I'm going to tell you about Apollo Men's Health. Look, I've been telling you about him for quite a while. Dr. O knows what he's doing. I'm now getting tweets and messages from people that want me to make sure that Apollo gets their results as quick as possible because they're encouraged and looking forward to all the ways Apollo Men's Health can help. They can help you too. If you're looking to get on a weight loss program, some people I know already have lost quite a bit of weight, but they can always use help sometimes. And that the people at Apollo Men's Health can help you do that. They can monitor your progress on a weekly basis once you do a full body composition analysis that literally only takes 60 seconds. You can do recovery quicker from those big weightlifting sessions, and you can do HGH peptide therapy, which allows you to get rid of a lot of the soreness. And it starts and ends for both men and women with hormone therapy. If you don't have the energy that you once had and you just don't have that pickup in your life, whether it's from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you need help, they have answers and a program that works. Check them out today. Go to ApolloMH.com. When you do, mention my name, Joel Blank, you get a free B12 shot, and then set up that first appointment. Most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And, of course, when they sit down and have that first meeting with you, just be honest with them. They're going to ask you some tough questions, but it's privacy in an examination room, and all you got to do is give them honest answers. Tell them where you're trying to get to. They'll set you up with a program that works. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, back second half of the Killer Bees. Paulie Gallant filling in for Jeremy Branham, out sick today. Brendan behind the glass and my good friend Kelly Eco is now joining us as he talks about the Houston Rockets, a team he knows very well as he covers them on a daily basis for The Athletic. And, Kel, you've had a lot of columns come up recently, trade deadline right around the corner. A lot of people are watching this team and some intriguing things to get to, including Pauly Celtics involved in some interest in one of your players. But the last column you had was John Wall. I think a lot of us have been discussing, and I've said for a long time, as you know too, Christian Wood's got to go. And I really feel like that Eric Gordon should have been traded before the season even started. And it's no slap to Eric Gordon. It's just that it's a bad fit now for him and for the team. But John Wall seems to be untradeable. And we look at this from a Daryl Morey perspective and said, well, look, so was Chris Paul, and he found a way to find Russell Westbrook, whether you liked it or not. It was the immovable contract that was moved. John Wall seems to be in a similar situation. What are the people out there not aware of that you know? Is there a possibility John Wall could find a home at the trade deadline?
The problem with, you know, John Wall's situation is the money and the fact that he hasn't played in so long. A lot of teams need to see what you can do before they pull the trigger. Now, with John Wall, he's healthy. He's ready to go. Obviously, the Lakers and the Russ thing makes sense because of the money.
But let's be clear. If it's Russ, he will never play another game for the Rockets. He doesn't like Rafael Stone. It would be a buyout. You know, I'll say you won't.
Yeah.
I'll say it because I know it. Russ is never playing for Rafael Stone again.
Yeah, so if he came, it would be an immediate buyout. Okay. But for the Rockets' perspective, if they can do a buyout, they need an incentive. So that's why the Lakers thing makes sense. Getting that 2027 first-round pick, maybe another asset or two, would push them.
THT is someone I know they got their eye on.
THT is someone they had their eye on, but the money is not the best contract. Three years, $30 million, and he hasn't played that well this season at all. So if you want to add that, maybe before the offseason, that would have been a good target. But now it's kind of tricky because where the Rockets are right now, you want to be sure of what you're getting at the three.
Yeah.
And with the draft coming up, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, Jaden Ivey, you want to see guys that can come
in. Kid from Auburn is climbing the charts quickly.
Yeah, and you want to see guys that can complement what they have going on right now. So I think the 2027 pick makes more sense. And they also just took four rookies in the last draft. So if those guys hit, the urge to do deals to get those future picks isn't as great. So I think when you talk about John Wall's situation, it's more of can you get a third team involved? Can you get a fourth team involved to bring more assets to the table to see kind of what the Rockets can do?
As you've been seeing this day to day, what's your perspective just been on the John Wall situation?
It's weird because even before the year, I think we talked about it, I thought he would come in and help Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., just being on the floor, maybe putting Kevin at the three, having another lead ball handler. But it just kind of surprised me how they went that direction. And now I think he's at home. He's in Miami right now. He's working out, trying to stay in shape. But it's just a puzzling situation overall because you're paying a guy this much money and he's not playing. He wants to play. But at the same time, you do understand that you want to develop Jalen and Kevin. And to a certain extent, they have this season. Kevin's become a better defender. Recently, he's playing really well as a point. The turnovers are down. Jalen's still up and down, but he's a kid. It's going to happen. But the whole thing is still weird to me.
But Kel, look at that situation, right? Like, first of all, what team takes a healthy scratch on a guy making 40-plus mil and says, you stay off the court, but you don't have to stay home. You can be at practice. A lot of times we saw the videos of him practicing against Green,
right,
or we saw a sideline video where they're getting throttled, but he's kind of yucking it up on the sidelines, and you're going, well, then what is he really doing there? And it's a dangerous precedent that the Rockets set because he is healthy, and a lot of teams still have some interest in him. But again, we talked about precedents even with the NFL, and it goes back to even back to the Harden days. There's a different age of sports right now where a guy can be a healthy scratch, being your max player, making $40-some million a year. What is he actually doing? And isn't it driving Tillman Fertitta, of all people, crazy to see him? I'm paying this guy how much to do what?
Well, I think the basis of that is Stephen Silas, and he's a big fan of John. And you go back to last season's mess and the turmoil, he was kind of like his confidant in that sense. And speaking up in film sessions, being that guy to help the young guys come along. Now it's even more so, but you want to have a guy that's going to be around the team like 24-7, even if he's not playing. And he has done a good job of helping Kevin, and Kevin has talked about it, being that guy to lead on Jalen, the guy to be for advice. It's just, it's one thing to speak on the sidelines, but it's another thing to be on the court.
I hear you saying that, but then my quick rebuttal would be, well, then where was he with KPJ and Christian Wood on that famous night a couple weeks ago?
I was about to ask about that, Antonio Brown weekend.
Yeah.
We forget about that.
Well, yeah, that was crazy. I had never seen that in a long time. But and certain things that as a vet, you can kind of control being on the floor. Like, I don't think that would have happened if John was playing, because you would have been able to reel those guys in, and you're not going to just abandon the team like that. But at the same time, John being on the court does take away from those touches from Jalen, from Kevin. He's still a guy that thinks he should be considered among the league's elite and wants to be that guy still. So it's a really tricky situation.
The reality check seems like it's really tough for some of these guys who are as athletically gifted as, whether it's Russell Westbrook or it's John Wall, to accept where you are.
Derrick Rose, all the guys. Yeah.
I'm curious about right now with the main figureheads in this organization, with Silas and with Stone. It does feel like, ever since just starting with the James Harden trade and right now the way that they're handling the Wall situation, they're walking with eggshells, and I can understand why. You want to make this look like it's a place where you treat players well, because it didn't feel like players felt that way before they got out the door, whether it was Westbrook or it was Harden. Do you feel like the way that they are handling this, though, is giving the impression that this is an organization that players are going to want to come back to before, obviously, some of these young players develop into what you're hoping they will develop into?
Right. So you talk about the years of Morey and how he kind of dealt with his transactions. Well,
he treated them all as assets.
Yeah. And while that's good for a team, it's not good for the outside looking in, because you want to feel wanted, you want to feel loved. And nowadays, you see with the PJ Tucker situation, with DeMarcus Cousins, with James Harden, now with John Wall, it seems like they're trying to reverse that narrative, because it could help them down the line. If you develop these guys quick enough, there are enough attractive guys in the market that will want to come and say, Houston's a good city, there's no state income tax, there's a lot of things to do as a social, the nightlife and everything, and the team can teach you well. So it makes sense of why they want to do that, because they know that they're in a rebuild. It's not sure how long
it'll
take.
But it's a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
Because they did that when they were winning, because guys wanted to be a part of a winner.
Right.
You set the perception of, hey, not only are we a – because we've heard the rumor out there, Stone wants to be known as a guy that takes care of his players. Problem is, it looks like you got a head coach and a general manager that'll get walked over every single time because of the fact that they're willing to give them the control of saying, if you don't want to play, no worries. You come here, we take care of our players. That's a bad look, because Silas, a lot of people calling for his job throughout the year because it looks like he doesn't have enough control. Stone wants this to be the reputation, but with that comes these kind of finger pointing that goes on.
And that's kind of, like you said, the double-edged sort of a rebuild, because you want to grow, but at the same time, these are older guys, older coaches, older general managers that have their reputation on the line, and they want to do certain things to put themselves in a chance to succeed. So it's really hard to kind of walk those lines.
Yeah,
but I think right now, whether they're 14-33, I think they've done an okay job this season of taking everything under control and trying to map a way forward. Now we'll see if it pans out for free agents on the market and trades and stuff like that. But so far, you can't really tell right now.
All right, so we got through one segment. We even really touched on Eric Gordon or Christian Wood. We got to get to those next. We're going to keep Kelly for one more and get into some more Rockets basketball. If you guys have questions or comments, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line will get you in on calls and or texts. And, of course, you can hit us up on Twitch and Twitter. Kelly Eco, the Athletic, comes back for one more segment. Coming up next, talking Rockets right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Your teams, our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, little known fact, but some of you who heard Kelly on before, but Kelly was once here at ESPN 97.5, and Kelly and I became fast friends, and no one is more proud of what Kelly Eco has become and being a beat writer already at this young age. Shams and those guys better look the hell out, because my boy is doing some things, and so it's always good to have him in person, in studio, talking NBA and all that jazz as Utah. But as we want to get into more Rockets, and obviously you cover them on a daily basis. Right. And I said Eric Gordon should have been gone a long time ago. Not any slap in the face to Eric. He has value for playoff teams. He, as we just got done talking about, even with John Wall, he's taking minutes and shots away from the young kids you want to see get minutes and shots. Then I see this article that says the Rockets want a cornerstone franchise-type player in return for Gordon or Wood or both. Like, we brought it up with Kevin McHale last week and had him put his old general manager hat on, but, like, that's so unrealistic yeah. that you have to face the harsh reality. The last thing you want, but it seems like if that's the way they're going to do negotiations, that's a possibility, is you could go past the trade deadline and have both those guys still on your roster if that's their thinking.
Yeah, and, you know, Eric has made his intentions known, even going back to last summer.
That he wants out.
Of what he wanted to do. He wants to play for a championship, and he's going to be a professional and still, you know, play with those guys and trying to win games. But in his heart of hearts, he knows he wants to be on a championship contending team.
Sure.
The Rockets, they value his presence for his work ethic and what he brings to those young guys, being able to be an example for a Josh Christopher, for a Jalen Green, for a KPJ. But there are teams that have called about him. A lot of teams. One of those is the Lakers. They've because obviously the relationship with Pelinka goes back. There are other teams that I've called about Eric Gordon as well. But the offers to date haven't been, I guess, what the Rockets want.
But so, they did P.J. Tucker a solid and found him a home.
Well, yeah.
If it's about taking care of their players, as we talked about last segment, then you got to be realistic and say you might have to take a little less, but you at least get an asset back for him.
Right, and that is a good point. Now, I'll counter that with Tucker's impact and Gordon's impact right now. I think it's two different levels right now, so you can get more for Eric Gordon. The way he's playing the season, you can't get a first-round pick, where PJ, it was just going to be a
double. Even a first-round pick is different, though, than a cornerstone franchise. Yeah,
that's different. I think that takes a little bit more time and a little bit more of juice in the tank to get a cornerstone-type guy, because you're kind of thin on attractive assets, if that makes sense,
right,
to get a cornerstone-type guy. But
What kind of assets are you potentially getting in return? Like, if we're being realistic for Eric Gordon, are we talking lottery pick even, or is it like outside lottery pick? Like, it's one of those teams that's in the playoff range.
For a playoff team, their pick's not going to be that high anyway.
I think a good offer for Gordon would be a solid young guy on decent money and a first round pick. I think if they can get that, I think they would do that deal. But I think the way teams are set up right now, like contenders, their picks are not high.
Yeah,
unless they got a pick sitting in their back pocket from a trade they move a few years ago, and a team's still bad, and they've got like a Minnesota pick sitting in their portfolio.
Right, and the money is still kind of high right now, even though the last year is not guaranteed. He's still on $348 or something like that.
He's making over $17 a year, I believe.
So the money is still kind of high. So if you wait till the summer, that year comes off, now you're dealing with like a 1-1, and the one is not guaranteed. So it's more attractive to deal to teams. So I think that's the problem with the trade deadline. You're putting guys on a time constraint to make a deal done, and if the money's not right, you got to take a gamble, and you might not see it through.
How do you think Tillman Fertitta is looking at this right now? Because, you know, in my impression, you guys are way more connected than me on this when it comes to the Rockets, but my impression of Tillman Fertitta is he's a bit impulsive. He likes to have his hands on everything, and of late, I mean, it does feel like, to his credit, he has been rather hands-off, but I imagine there is a shelf life on that.
There's also a son that's involved daily that helps him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I would imagine in this situation going forward that, say, the trade deadline maybe doesn't go a specific way, that things could perhaps change if he feels like there's not a step being made in the right direction.
Well, before the season, he said that it was kind of a reality check going from where he came in the job, almost getting to the NBA Finals, to now being a rebuilding team. And for that, he was going to have some patience, trying to see those young guys develop. And if he said that you got to go by his word right now, this is still year one of a rebuild. We're still not even done with the season. So you kind of got to see how that goes. Maybe in a year or two, if things haven't developed, then you kind of
get back to the old
impatient. You kind of get impatient. You want to make things happen immediately. But right now, he says it's going to be patient, so I think we'll have to see.
All right, so let's turn the page to a guy that's not been the ultimate professional, that hasn't been the guy that has been like Eric Gordon and says, I'll be here as long as you need me to be, but help me find a home. And that's Christian Wood. And Christian Wood has come out and made outlandish statements like, my next deal, I should be a max player. We know that he's had issues far before the Antonio Brown day, as Paul called it, when both he and KPJ went off. But there's been issues where there's been a disconnect, where tantrums have been had, where attitude has been shown. And yet the NBA knows, all things aside on that front, he's a double-double every night.
Right.
But he's also taking minutes and touches away from a guy like Alperen Şengün and guys you want to develop. So can they trade a Christian Wood? To me, I went out and said I didn't think he should play another game for the Rockets after what happened that fateful night a few weeks ago. The fact that they brought him back, I think, was only because they wanted to salvage value across the league to make a trade. But then what can they get from a Christian Wood? And are they still going to shop him and try and find a deal where they get something back for him? Because we know they hold the cards right now. But if they let this go past the trade deadline, now don't expect anything, because in the last year of his deal, no one's going to give you a lot of assets for him because they don't know if they can sign him.
Yeah, so Christian Wood's situation is a bit different because he's a bit younger. Teams know what he can bring to the table. Like you said, it's a double-double machine. Some of the other questions about, can he be that guy? Does he want to be that guy? How is it going to impact guys around him? That's been the biggest question about him so far. Teams that have called about Christian Wood, because they do know he's still a stretch big. That's a valuable skill set in this league right now. But I don't know. Kind of like Eric, it's like, if you do a deal right now, what exactly are you getting for him right now? Can you get something that's going to help you win right now, or win in the future? I mean, the money is not as bad as Eric's. Like, it's still 46, something like that.
No, it's in the 11 to 13 range.
Yeah, so it's still a very movable contract for a guy.
And I said early on, Golden State, they could use a guy they could plug and play, and you could maybe get a Wiseman. You could get a Lee. You could get
the draft, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got picks and some things that might be interesting. Right. You look at a Chicago team. As much as they love what they have in LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, right, they could use a third score, a little bit of a front court score that could add that third piece in the East that would push them to the top. There are teams out there that seem to have a desire to get a Christian Wood type player. Especially, I said, keep an eye on Jeremy Grant. Teams that fall short on Jeremy Grant when the Pistons make a move, if they make a move, will look as plan B could be Christian Wood, same kind of numbers.
Yeah.
But the Rockets, again, have to be willing to make a deal and not just try and get the maximum deal. Sometimes you just got to get the best deal right now, just because he's better somewhere else than he is both on and off the court, negatively affecting the minutes and the experiences of your young players.
So a team like Miami has also been pretty aggressive.
Okay.
They've called about Wood a number of times.
He lives there, I guess, in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah. Him and John. So do you see maybe a Miami fit there with Bam? Do you see like a – because I know the Rockets have tried playing him.
Well, Bam's bringing the ball up the court some possessions when Kyle Lowry's out for Miami. Right. But I think that Miami's also in that situation like Chicago. They're close, but they need another guy that's going to give them points and rebounds. But then you got to, it goes back to what I said about the Rockets, though. But are you willing to take a playoff team, a perennial playoff team like Miami, and realize the assets aren't as great? Now you're probably looking more at young players, a Robinson or a Hero, or, and I don't know if they'd be willing to part with one of their two shooters, but some a player if you can't get a pick.
Yeah, and when you look at a team like Miami that has those attractive guys in Duncan and Tyler, you got to think, because remember at the James Harden trade, those were on the table.
Sure.
And they didn't do that deal either. So you kind of have to see what, if the Rockets value Wood as much to keep him, because at 26, he's still kind of on the timeline, but kind of not. Just like Jason Tate, he's still someone that if you think you can reach that ceiling with him, which is kind of why they have with him, with John Lucas, with Steven Silas, to kind of reach that potential. You kind of see what he can be. But everything is still, you know, a crapshoot.
Do you get the vibe that some of these players say they do decide to go the route of bringing in some of these younger players who maybe things haven't worked out for them in another location? I mean, I look, you know, at the Porter leaving the game situation, and I wonder, okay, well, there's clearly some coach that's getting under his skin in perhaps the wrong way, doesn't exactly know quite how to reach him. Do you feel like, hey, say they bring in some other guy who hasn't worked elsewhere, do you think like the development stages, the development pieces that this team has together, do you think they can get them to where they maybe weren't able to get in another situation?
Well, yeah, because even before Kevin Porter came to Houston, he was never thought of as a positive defender. He was never thought of as a guy that could lead a team.
Okay.
And you're seeing now the John Lucas effect.
John Lucas has a big effect.
He's
There's
been
no
able
doubt.
To, he calls him his son. He's been able to bring him in and kind of show him what it means to be a good person, a positive human being, a good influence. So the Rockets have been a team that, in the right environment, can bring those guys, like those projects, back to life and stuff like that.
And let's be clear, Paul, because we haven't caught up. There's more to that story than what you heard on the surface in terms of did he.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, did I know.
I've been very outspoken about even when I was there. When a situation like that happens in game, the people in the front office, the people like us that were dealing with the team, we're going to be the first to get the guy out of the building because the people like Kelly need a story and they know something's going on and they realize he's not on the floor. And as time develops in the second half, people are scouring every possible angle down in that first level, trying to figure out what's going on. And it's in the best interest to let everybody cool down and get him out of the building for the night so he doesn't have to face the music. So I think the more critical thing was he's had these kind of episodes at USC, at the Cavaliers, now with the Rockets. At a certain point, not only just for his development as a player, if you plan on keeping him, but also just for his own well-being as a human being, you might need to get some outside help for the kid.
Yeah, and one thing that Kevin Porter has talked about is social media and taking a break from that because
I heard that the other day.
It can have a bad effect. Yeah, shout out to my man Sarge. It can have a bad effect on you, especially if you're a young guy going through stuff. And I go back to the John Lucas thing. That's kind of why the Rockets have kept him around for so long because he's so influential in these young players' lives.
Yeah.
Because he's been through everything. He's seen every angle of the NBA and both sides, the good and the bad. And he knows what it takes to be a good player. He knows how you can fall into the pitfalls. And that's why they want him attached to Kevin's hip because – and you're seeing the effects right now, aside from, you know, the outburst, and he apologized for it. And John Lucas was like, it's a family. And
yeah.
That's what happens in-house. It's a family thing. So I think to that credit, you're seeing why these guys are in this kind of environment right now and they're young players in the young stage in a rebuild. You want to see those guys grow. There's going to be bumps on the road. It's all about keeping things in-house, pushing forward, and seeing that there's a bigger goal at stake.
All right, before we let you go, last question, pushing forward, that's the king. We know we've got someone in Şengün who has shown he's going to make some missteps, but kid's talented as hell at 19.
Yeah, right.
There's a rumor out there the Celtics are trying to kick the tires and do more than that, trying to get their hands on him. I can say a lot of things about a lot of moves and things that have been done over there so far, but please tell me there's no one over there seriously considering trading Şengün he even hits 20.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good.
They traded 2 first for him. They know what he can do. This is someone that's going to be excellent in the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, that's what I needed to hear because I saw the rumor mill churning this morning and saying the Celtics have made serious inroads trying to trade for Alperen Şengün. It's like, well, they can try all they want. Rosetta Stone better be deflecting every single volley and kicking them away going, yeah, we're not interested and we're not doing that.
Yeah, I don't think the Rockets would let go of him for anything.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, we always good to hear you. Thank you for coming in. That's Kelly Eco. He is the beat writer for the Houston Rockets for The Athletic, so you can follow him on Twitter. And you can also realize that he has an exorbitant amount of MC Hammer-type pants that he likes to show off on a more than daily basis, amongst other things. But I love the dude, so always support him where you can. We got 2 hours in the books. We got 1 hour still to go. Final hour of the show comes up next. It's me, it's Pauly G, and it's my man B behind the glass right here on the Killer Bees.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.